Our subject this morning is going to be the purpose of the ages. So if you will, turn your Bibles first to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start with verse 10. To the intent now that unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Question comes up, what is God up to in this world? Are we merely spinning in space, adrift? Where are we in his plan and purpose? Are we pretty much all dressed up with no place to go? What is, anyway, the eternal purpose of him? Well, guess what? No one knows. And I'll tell you why. The word eternal here is the Greek word aion, A-I-O-N. And if you look up in a concordance, it can be translated eternal, forever, everlasting, course, perpetuity, beginning of, or world. But in there, you will find the first definition in a Greek dictionary as being age, or the ages of this aion, A-I-O-N. And if you look in the original text of Ephesians, it reads, according to the ages which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord, not the eternal purpose, but the purpose of the ages. So the translation here is not a good translation. It is actually creates a double negative, and it gives us the wrong impression because the noun aion is translated as though it were an adjective, and eternal is put where age should have been. It's not necessarily the wrong translation, but based on the rest of Scripture, it's not really the right translation. Surprisingly, the Bible does not speak of eternity, nor does it set out to prove the existence of God. It is not written to tell us such things. Eternity is outside of the scope of Scripture. Now, there will no doubt be many wonderful things about eternity revealed when the age where we live, this age, and we'll look at that later, when this age is complete. But they are speculative at this point in time. They are idle and worthless speculation because the Bible does not teach us much before or beyond the boundaries of the age in which we live. So the question then arises, what is the age purpose then? What is the reason or the purpose for the age? When does it begin? Does it end? If so, when? Well, first, we must look at a couple of scriptures. If you will, turn in your Bibles back to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Verse 25. Now, To him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That is aeon. It should be the age began to be commensurate with other scriptures with regard to correct use of the word aeon. We find another instance of this. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given in Christ Jesus before the age began. Another instance where aeon is translated world, which is perfectly okay, but for a real understanding, it needs to be, like I say, commensurate with other things in Scripture that are teaching that we're dealing with an age. And in these two scriptures, we can see that aeon, or world, or the ages, has a beginning. That's what's important. It also has an end. It has nothing to do with eternity because things eternal have no beginning or no end. The age or the ages, therefore the world that we know, begins at the six-day creation in Genesis chapter 1. And when you learn that aeon is not only world, but also age, other expressions that are found in Scripture, like this world, or being this age, the end of the world is actually the end of the age because there's no end of the world, there's a new world. The term the world to come or the age to come take on new meaning as you get a proper perspective of what this aeon word and how it's used. And so it becomes necessary to distinguish the difference between time and place when looking at the word aeon in Scripture. Now, just as sure as the ages of the world have a beginning, this age has an end. There's a period of time. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go to verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You and I, everything we see is actually temporal. Only the invisible is permanent. And this temporary nature is seen, for example, symbolically in the Old Testament. The tabernacle could be folded up. It was temporarily in a place. They moved with Israel as they moved the tabernacle. They put it up wherever they went. You can read about it in Isaiah 40, 42, 44, 45, Zechariah chapter 12. About this tabernacle that was a temporary tabernacle. It was not in stone. It was temporary. It was visible. And then also you can see about the earth, the heavens being stretched out and rolled up. And we read about that in Isaiah chapters 34, Revelations chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 1, many other places. where the heavens are stretched out and then rolled up again. The tabernacle was set up, taken down, and moved. But in this situation where the heavens are stretched out and where they're rolled up, the time between those two things are the age in which we live. So, between Genesis 1:1, which was the perfect creation, where God stretched out the heavens and the earth, and you can read about that in Isaiah 45, and Revelation 21, where we find a new heaven and a new earth, there occurs a catastrophe event within that. In Genesis 1:2, the earth, we find out, became without form and was void. And it is described in Greek as the word katabole, or the overthrow. In this creation, there came a rent in God's perfect creation, where Satan and sin enters this perfect creation, and it became void and without form. I have an illustration that I like to use. You might think of it being as kind of silly, but it works especially well for those who maybe don't know quite as much about the scripture as you all do. But I like to take a piece of cloth and stretch this cloth out and say, if this piece of cloth represents God's perfect creation, here's what happens to God's perfect creation. There's a rent in his perfect creation. And there's no explanation in Genesis 1:2 for the cause. Moses didn't know. Eventually, other scripture makes it clear that iniquity, Satan, at this point enters into God's perfect creation. And it became form without form and void. Here, at this rent, age times begin. And here, at the bottom of the rent, age time ends. The top of the cloth is the beginning. The end of the cloth is a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, this is where we stand and this is where we live. We live in the rent, and we live in the recreation of Genesis chapter 2. It is a place, it is a repair, if you will, to carry the redemptive purposes of God to the threshold of eternity, the end of the cloth. It is here, in this rent, where we live, that the fuller comes into being. What is the fuller? Remember? You must understand that God is preparing during the ages a piece of new fold cloth for a perfect universe once again. The rent will be rolled away. God will be all in all, or completeness achieved. And we see this, and it's subtle. It's in the parables. Turn back to Matthew chapter 9 for reference to this. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. So now we're getting the sense of this rent, this gap, and the reason that there's a need for a fuller. All the gospel writers speak of it. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Beginning with verse 21. No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottle will be marred, but the new wine must be put into new bottles, as you have to have a new piece of cloth, perfect, rather than patch this old piece that has a rent in it. Luke speaks of the same thing. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the place that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Now, the fulling of cloth, and that's what's going on during this age. The fulling of cloth involves several rigorous processes, and Christ is the fuller in Scripture. The cloth is stomped with nitrate and lye. It's teased, it's scourged, it's carded, it's shrunken, it's stretched, it's washed and calendared. And in the process, it loses its original hardness. There's no completeness without the fuller in the fulling of cloth. And it is also true of the fulfillment of God's purpose for the ages. There has to be this process. Examples of this process in Scripture can be found in several places. I suggest two for your thinking this morning. One is back to Mark chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 3. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can whiten them. So here Christ is being referred to as a fuller. That's how we know what this fuller has to do. But my favorite place, and there's several, but we don't have time to go through them all this morning. Turn back to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And the thing that's funny about this, I think, is that everyone knows the first part of this verse because Handel put it in his oratorio, The Messiah. But nobody knows the last sentence of the verse. Look, if you will, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? and handle ends there. But the rest of the verse says, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. So, with this background in mind, we now come to a word that is of extreme importance in Scripture. It's a word that characterizes that which is to come as the result of the fuller. It is a word that is in direct contrast to that which is desolate, that which is wasted, that which is flooded, on fire, void, or katabole, without form. It's the word that is used when speaking of the new creation, the new man, the new covenant, the new heaven and earth. However, until this word comes to fruition, we, you, and I are subject to the rigorous process of God's plan as described in the fulling of cloth. The purpose, the process includes the apparent necessity for suffering, buffeted, of course, by feelings of frustration as described by Job and experienced by us and all mankind. Situations described in Scripture as sickness, tragedy, quaking, flooding, sorrow, desolation, scattered, sin and unbelief, trouble everywhere, war. To see this extremely important word, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, Lord, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There it is. Fullness. The Greek word pleroma means completeness, fullness in the hands of the fuller. So concluding, I would say, here is the rent is being removed. The fullness of Godhead dwells in Christ in heavenly places. There it is untouched by the rent or the gap or the katabole of Genesis 1-2. The purpose of the ages is complete. No patch on the old earth. The redemption process is complete. And here we find a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And the fuller, Christ, is all in all. No more death, no more night, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, no more, no more. And you know what? It never passes away. Because the fuller is complete in his work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We ask that you please grant us according to the riches of your glory, that we may be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man, and that we might be rooted and grounded in love, and that we may be able to comprehend what is the boundless breadth and the endless length and the fathomless depth and the measureless height of the love of Christ. For it is in his name, the one that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. It is in his name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen.